Man, so
a few weeks.
It's been a minute since we recorded. Between going out of town to try to change my life, and a lot of other things, we are back with Some Dude. I think episode 204. Once we got to episode 200,
yeah, it's been a roller coaster.
We apologize for that, but okay. We're back. I am JR Bain. That's Mike B. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast. Barbershed Network is the home. Listen to all episodes there. Go there and then search out Some Dude Pod. And man,
what's up,
man? You start with a mental health check. Where you at?
I'm okay. Mental health is up and down, man. It's up and down, dude. You know, it's hit. Some days are good. Some days are just, you know, rough. So today's a better day. I'm just getting, I don't know, bro. It's the mental health is okay. So the mental health is, it's up and down, but right now it's kind of leaning towards just, it's been really rough. Football season is coming up, bro, and everybody's excited about football season. Football season is upon us, and it helps, but this is probably going to be the most bittersweet time of the year. For me. You know, my mom was, you know, Sundays were mom's house. Go to mom's house, watch football. My mom was the reason why I'm a Cowboys fan is because she was a Cowboys fan. So this would be the first football season without my mom, and the first football season where I don't go to my mom's house, you know, every Sunday. So it's rough. So it's getting, you know, it's been, but I'm okay though. We good. But besides that though, man, I'm all right, man. You know, just I have an eighth grader now, you know, getting her prepared for high school, you know.
Did Coach Moses get us straight for Fenwick?
Yeah, we're gonna see. Fenwick got tuition though, bro.
I know.
Yeah, I don't think they gonna they got grants and loans and stuff. It's down to two.
You need a bowling scholarship.
Yeah, but see, I don't know. And one of my homies, he's a bowling coach. So I know Coach Moses. It's good that Coach Moses is there. But one of my other homies, his daughter actually bowls with my daughter. His daughter, and they're the same age. But he's the bowling coach at Fenwick. And his last year was his first year. So he said he was going to look into some things. So we looking
that,
into
that Fenwick. Recruiting.
Yeah, we gonna see what's up. So Fenwick is not out of the question yet, but we got eyes on other schools too, though. So we getting ready for that. This time next year, my daughter will be a freshman. I still haven't wrapped my head around that one yet. So you know, that's crazy right now. But besides that, everything else is solid, man. I can't complain. You know,
man,
look, your kids are starting school. Talk about that. Let's talk about the first week of school. How was it this year? We got a lot of content from you, you know, showing off the kids in the first day of school and everything like that. So talk about that.
Man,
Let's talk about my boy Lando.
We're gonna start with Trey first. Trey's in the fifth grade.
Yeah.
He's a fifth grader. Things ran smooth, right?
Yeah.
It was funny because he got back home from the bus and he was like, "Oh, they talking about personal things."
And at fifth grade,
I'm like,
at fifth grade,
well.
What is his definition of personal? What does he mean?
No, so the school, the school bus goes to his school in the middle school.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth graders on the bus.
Okay.
So as I told him, yeah, get ready for that, Playboy. It's gonna be a lot. Look, I'm glad that these kids, let me rephrase that. I don't know if these kids were talking how we was in the fifth grade, but if they were, Trey, just don't listen. Be prepared. Pops don't want you out there, you know, listening to that talk.
Yeah.
Let's go to Landon.
Okay.
Mike, I did not shed a tear or get emotional.
Okay.
Trey started kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Landon was a different story.
Okay.
And it's all Landon's fault.
Why, babe? Why?
All right, so we get him excited for school. We got him lit. He happy. All of that stuff.
See, let me ask you this. So I remember when my daughter started kindergarten. And like, do we kind of like know? They know, like, yeah, I'm going to school. I'm going to kick it with other kids. Like, he knows exactly what's going on right now. Okay.
Yeah, he knew. So we get him ready for school. But then as he start realizing that ain't none of us coming with him, mm-hmm. you can see the nerves start to build up. There you go.
That's okay. That's normal.
Like, so then we get him in the line and he getting adjusted. He went from just standing there to started jumping up and down, getting ready. He tapped his chest.
Okay.
All that.
Okay.
So then they like, all right, time for y'all to come into the school. That shit changed. So they won't let us go past the hallway. So he goes through the door. Once you go through the door, that's it. We get him to the door, and he's just looking back. I go in the office to make sure that we got the right school bus for him. They say, yeah, we good. I come out the office, and who is standing in the last spot that I saw him at? My son, Landon. Mm-hmm. And he's not crying, but he's whining. He's, I'm like, oh, shit. Landon, go to class. I'm like, he's not going to move. I can't go through the door. So I tell him to come back. The principal is to the left of me, bringing in the group. I was like, hey, can you grab him? Man, that look back was so sad, Mike. If he never hits me with the look back, G, I'm straight. But he hit me with the look back. It was something out of a movie, Jack.
Yeah.
And it hit me. I say, man, Miriam was like, is that thing okay? I said, nah, man. The boy looked back. And was his lips was quivering, and he wasn't trying to go to class. And she was like, oh, are you soft? I said, no, you wasn't there for the look back.
Yeah,
if you was there for the look back, you would understand, but you wasn't there for the look back. So since you wasn't there for the look back, you can't say nothing. Everybody in the house, laughing. Oh, that, look at you getting soft, bang.
That look back, softly. That look back is kind of like, dang, you can do something, but you really can't do anything because it gotta happen. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, your kid is being taken away from you, and you could run after him and get him back if you want to, but this is not how life works. This is one of those moments where you kind of gotta let that situation play out, but in your heart, that look back, that stare, it's like, it's the parent in you, like, yo, I need to go save my child, but I can't because this is the next step in life. So I get it, babe. Right.
So the look back caught me and I was,
she had to be there for that. She had to be there for it. Yeah. That's all.
So the next day, he's getting on the school bus. Same thing. He's ready. Tap the chest, all of that stuff. Get to the school bus. He walk up the stairs. Turns around, y'all ain't coming too.
Yeah.
Gave us the look back.
Damn.
He saw that look back this time. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
Damn. And he crying on the bus. So not only are you sad because he crying on the bus, you also like, damn, he crying in front of all of these kids. These kids about to talk shit about him. Ah, man.
So all the kids that he getting on the bus with are all of them in kindergarten?
Nah, he getting it's kindergarten through fifth or fourth.
Does Landon get on? Landon gets on the same bus as Trey?
No,
they don't get on the same bus.
They go to different schools now.
Okay,
so he ain't got nobody on the bus to protect him.
Okay,
he by himself crying. Nah, fam, I don't like that.
How is that, Bang? Can I ask you about that experience of having your kids ride the bus? How far is y'all schools away from the house?
It's about a 10-minute drive, 8 to 10-minute drive.
Is that like, do y'all do that purposely, or it's kind of like the way y'all schedules are set up?
Yeah, the way the schedule's set up, you can't take them. You got to bus them for us.
Okay.
But yeah, you're right down the street. The school, well, I ain't going to say right down the street. It's about a 25, 30-minute walk, 6 to 10-minute drive, depending on what route you take.
That would be a rough experience for me.
And then you got to stand, you got to be in the line to drop them off and stuff. So catch that school bus. But that look back, man, now he's good now. He gave the bus driver a high five these last days.
There we go. Okay, shout out to the bus driver. Thing,
he's getting comfortable. But then you nervous about school because he's still getting acclimated. He didn't go to preschool. So he getting used to people. He getting used to white people. Like, this is the most white people that Landon has ever seen in his life at one time. So I know he's trying to get comfortable for that. But he ain't also been around black people outside of his family. So he's just around a whole bunch of things that might be overwhelming him. Mm-hmm. And he's starting to get used to. But that look back, man. Look, if any parent, I believe, this is just my opinion, I believe that any parent is cool and good. See, there he is right there. With his drawers on, I asked him for. He could have asked his brother. He could have asked his daddy. He came to me. Or his granddaddy. He came to me for a goddamn juice. Close the door. Now look, the look back. Let me get back to that. To look back.
Yeah.
I think every parent is cool with their kid going to kindergarten, preschool, all of that, until they give the look back. Once your kid gives you the look back, that's going to determine the rest of your day. Mm-hmm. If they smile and give you the thumbs up like it's a Mentos commercial, then I think you're straight. Mm-hmm. But if they turn around and they quivering with the why you leaving me, it's going to fuck up your day. It's going to mess up your whole entire day. I don't give a damn how glad you are to get them out the house. Yeah. Once the look back happens, that's going to determine your day. And in this case, it messed up my day for 2 days. Now, Liam is the roughest window.
Huh?
Liam ain't cried. Well, excuse me. Liam has cried every day he's been to school. Liam is help me. No.
Yeah.
No. Now his look back ain't as sad because he just crying. He just loud. You just know what's coming. He's just loud.
But his situation is slightly different. He's young. So
right.
And so how old is Liam now?
Liam's 3.
So this is kind of like pre-preschool. Like,
yes.
It's like, it ain't really like this is, yeah. See, those situations
is,
right there.
This
those,
is pre-K. Like, don't get it twisted. Yeah. This pre-K, we getting his ass out of here early.
Okay. I think it's I was just early. That. I was early.
Yeah, it's just that with him, fuck is y'all doing? Like, if he could cuss with that shit, man, what the fuck y'all doing leaving me with these people? But Landon is the one that, tough. Very. Yeah. And it hit me. I ain't even gonna front. I ain't gonna lie to you. Hey, look, I love my child.
Yeah.
And I'm very protective of him. So the fact that he did what he did mm-hmm. on the way to school and knowing he's going to be at that school by himself. Look, I'm nervous now when he at the crib asking me to open his juice. They got picture day tomorrow. Man, look, if that man show up to picture day, if Landon show up to picture day, looking like a Davis should on picture day.
Us
an ugly ass picture.
I'm very interested to see Landon's school picture. I can't wait to see it.
Do you still have your first school picture?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, for sure. I probably got them over here somewhere. Like, all this stuff that, so after my mom passed and I started going through a lot of the pictures and stuff like that, I know I have it. And I always, and what I used to do too, so I always did this on my birthday. I don't know if anybody ever noticed, but like the past maybe like 5-6 years on my birthday on Facebook, I always post a school picture of when I was really young. Okay. Just like so I know for sure I have my first school picture in there. I think I got a kindergarten picture in there with our kindergarten school picture. Shout out DG, H. McNulty. We was in the same class at H. McNulty's, you know. So I know I got that. So I have to look through the pictures and dig deep, but I know they're in there though. My mom kept all of me and my brother's pictures, school pictures, baby pictures, all of that.
We need to drop our kindergarten pictures, or at least our first school pictures.
All right, I'm gonna find. We're gonna do that. We're gonna drop that.
Yeah, we gotta find that. Yeah. Do you remember what you were rocking that day?
Oh no, I think back then I was wearing uniform. I think we had uniform when I was in like kindergarten.
My first photo. Oh yeah, it was lit.
You was fly. You was fly. You had that shit off.
I had a baby blue. Button up, a baby blue button up, white pants, white suspenders.
Okay.
Boy, I was out there looking clean as a whistle.
Okay.
I'll never forget that time, because shouts out to my man Tyree. My man Tyree. He actually went viral a couple of years ago because he was in jail with T.I. Mm-hmm. But Tyree, the button broke on, this is some wild shit, Mike. Don't laugh. I remember this to this day.
Oh, excuse me.
One of the buttons broke off of my suspenders.
Yeah.
He swallowed the button. A couple of days later, he shitted out the button, cleaned that bitch up, and gave it back to me. I'll never forget that shit, G. Mm-mm. Never forget that shit. But yeah, I had that shit on, fam. I had that shit on. White suspenders, baby blue shirt, white pants, white shoes. It was lit. I still got that photo on my Facebook page. Lead artist Davis Jr. out here. I had the chicken pox right before that. So you could plainly see the little dimple on my nose, because there's a dimple on my nose because I scratched off a chicken pox. So shouts out to my homie Derek, who called me Black Pimple Nose because of that. But yes, I remember that. I was fly. I was out here with the baby blue and white, stunting on these hoes at 5 years old, G.
My man.
I was out here stunting. All right, so we're gonna drop that photo. But yeah, y'all drop y'all kindergarten photos and look at y'all selves now, especially if you ain't doing good in life. Just damn, things was easier back then. I wanted to do crackheads look at the kindergarten picture and be like, man, if I could tell my 6-year-old self not to do drugs, I'll do this now.
Bang, I bet that 75% of crackheads don't even have their school pictures anymore. Bang.
That's probably true. But here's a question for you. Here's a question for you. This might sound bad, but this is what we do on Some Do. Have you looked at the class picture? Now, let's say this. This is not your solo picture. Mm-hmm. Have you ever looked at your class picture and looked at the people in your class and be like, oh, I knew he wasn't going to be shit. I knew she wasn't going to be shit. Damn, it's fucked up what happened to this person.
I might say, damn, it's fucked up what happened to this person, but I don't think I ever had thoughts in my mind that anybody that I went to school with in grade school wasn't gonna be shit. Cause in grade school, I liked everybody. I was cool with everybody. Like, it wasn't no like okay, and I say this though. I say if I see certain people and they're doing certain things which might not be the right route or right way of living, I'll be like, I ain't surprised, you know what I'm saying? You turned into like a drug dealer or some shit like that, you know.
I was surprised.
I, I ain't surprised you got OnlyFans now, you know. That don't shock me. You know
you was trying to juice in the coat room in so third that's what grade. I'm
saying. Like, you know what I'll say that, but I never looked at anybody and said, like, nah, you ain't gonna be shit. Everybody fucked with me.
So. No, I'm talking about like when you look at them.
Yeah,
now,
but I never
like,
thought
when
of
you look at it. When you look at your grade school photos now,
if I see somebody,
like,
who
I knew
shit.
That one person wasn't gonna be shit.
Nah, I never thought that. I would be shocked. I would think like I thought everybody was gonna be something, succeed, and what I'm saying. And
is so, there it, okay? Here's even a question. Like now that we're talking about school, who were you scared? Or like just nervous around certain people in your class, and like, do you know them now? Like, is there anybody that was like, man, I ain't really fuck with this person?
Maybe girls, maybe certain girls.
You can be a girl.
Maybe certain girls I was nervous around, you know. But bang, I was like talkative. I used to get in trouble. Yeah. I used to get in trouble all the time. My teachers, that was the one thing. But I was on a roll, all of that shit, Joe. But my teacher said I talked too much. Like, what? I talked, like, I interacted, G, with almost everybody. So I don't really think necessarily I was nervous in grade school. And I always say, like, my eighth grade year, urban school, class of 2000. Shout out to class 2000, urban school, Maplewood. What up? That was, like, my favorite time. Seventh, eighth grade, those are my favorite times of school. Like, I remember seventh, eighth grade vividly, fam. And we had a ball in eighth grade, seventh grade, Joe. Like, when it came to just in class shit, like, you know what I'm saying, like class trips and all the eighth grade graduation stuff that we had going on, you know what I'm saying, like playground type shit, you know what I'm saying, like I'm so fond of all of those memories, bro. So it was fun back then. So I rocked with everybody rocked with me. So shout out to urban school class 2000, eighth grade year. Those are my funnest times in school, even more funner than high school. Like, in high school, I had fun, too. But, like, if I could go back and do eighth grade again, I would.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that shit. All right, look. There's two people that I'm not going to lie. I was scared of them in high school. Well, not excuse me. It's two people that I was scared of in grade school. And not going to lie, like, when I was around them, it was just like, yo, they crazy. They might fuck somebody up.
Yeah.
And there were twins. And there were girls. Letitia and Latasha Tate.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I look at them pictures.
You said they was big?
No, they wasn't big at all.
Okay, like, you know what I'm saying? They big, like fat, but like kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like, bigger than your average size girl.
No.
Like they could whoop your ass. So they was like regular size girls, you know, petite.
I'm gonna tell you right now, I think the Tate sisters will whoop anybody ass. And Michelle Clark, G. I mean, not Michelle Clark McNair. I think that the Tate twins would have whooped everybody. Fam.
Are you still in contact with them? Do you know where they are right
like
now?
Like on Instagram. Like okay, on Instagram, they doing great. Like from what I see on Instagram, they doing great.
That's what's up.
But in grade school at McNair. Those were two girls that I would never get on their bad side because they look like they would fuck me up.
Okay.
No.
But I mean, I see what you're saying in that case. Good. Like, I
thought that was good, but them two, boy, nah. The Tate sisters looked like they was not for shit. They would fuck you up or call a family member to beat your ass. So, nope, like y'all, ain't no playing around with them.
Yeah, I see what you're saying in that sense. Like, I think maybe so. If I seen people like that, if I knew people like that, they were like upperclassmen. They were like maybe like if I was in seventh grade, it'd be like the eighth graders. Like, it's a few of the eighth graders that I would probably wouldn't be on that with, or I would try to be cool with them. Like, cause if I did like walk in their way, they might be like, "Man, get your ass out the way, little nigga." Like, you know what I'm saying? Like. Your seventh grade ass out of here. You know what I'm saying? So that's probably the only thing, like, I would, the only thing.
Like, never had an issue being scared of upperclassmen.
Yeah.
Never had an issue of being scared of, like, Foles and Michelle Clark. None of that. It was just Letitia and Latasha Tate.
Yeah.
And another sisters, group of sisters. Latrice Davidson and her sister. Got her sister name that damn quick. But them two also look like they'll beat your ass. Mm-hmm. And was not trying to fuck with them in any way. Like, move out of my way, Lee. I bet. There you go. They are probably the sweetest women in the world right now with families, kids, and all of that. Yeah. But in the first through fifth grade,
you was intimidated.
No, I was. I'm not afraid to admit that it was girls that made me intimidated because I thought they could whoop my ass.
Right.
My cousin got his ass whooped by a girl in his grade. She whooped the shit out of his ass. Like, I'll never forget, I was walking home, and they was like, oh, man, Lee, you got to go help him out. So I run down, and they're like, shit, somebody fucking up my mans. And I get through the crowd, and it's a girl whooping his ass. And I'm like, wait a minute, what the fuck? And I wasn't going to fight her. Mm-hmm. She looked like she could whoop somebody's ass. Look, there's not a girl on the west side of Chicago that I don't think could whoop somebody's ass if needed, especially a man. Like a kid, a boy.
Amen.
I truly believe that most of the girls that I went to grade school with will fuck the guys up in that class.
Them West Side girls on West Side girls in Chicago, they different.
What?
They raised them, different.
Them John Hay Branch McNair girls, I truly believe could have whooped some of our asses in class. Mm-hmm. So one stabbed me in the thigh with a pencil.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to teach me how to write, and I was like, no. She took her pencil and stabbed me in the thigh with the shit.
Yeah.
In the third grade. You think I'm gonna fuck with any of these, like, get on any of these girls' bad side? No. I fight these dudes in this class before I fight any of them, because they ain't fighting fair.
Mm-hmm.
Shouts out to every girl that I went to school with at John Hay, Lil' John Hay, and McNair, because I felt like at any given moment you'd whoop my ass, so I left y'all alone. I talk shit about the homies, but y'all, Lee, what you say? No.
Yeah. I respect the honesty, man.
I'm not about to whoop. I wasn't fat until the fifth grade, too. Oh, nigga. Whoop my little scrawny ass, fam. And shouts out to Letitia Tate and her sister, because they look like they would have whooped my ass, and I never got on their bad side. I ain't do no homework, nothing like that, but I ain't getting on their bad side. All right, man, let's move on. So, man, I thought this Drake and Kendrick Lamar shit would be over with. But reportedly, allegedly, according to TMZ and Drake's Instagram, there might be a round of two. Or at least people seem to think that Drake was alluding to a possible second round. So, fam, I ask you, because you was a fan of this beef.
I was.
You trying to hear some more raps from Drake and Kendrick Lamar about each other? Or no?
Bruh. I mean, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't know where I am now with this, bro, because shit is, I don't know, bro. Let me say this, bro. Drake, you coming out. It's whatever it is you doing right now, fam, if you trolling Kendrick or you're baiting him, you did this already. You know? Like, this is what you did. You did that originally when, you know, you were on Instagram trolling him, you know, asking him to drop, telling him to drop. Then you created an AI record with Snoop and Pac's voice on it, you know, trolling him to respond. Then Euphoria happened. Like, so I don't know According to The Heart Part 6, Drake said he was done. I don't know if the Not Like Us, the steam from Not Like Us is getting to him. Maybe he didn't expect it to like, you know, impact him the way that it's impacting him, because that song still has lots of steam on it. And not necessarily because of, you know, we hear it all the time. It's just like what it's transitioned into. Oh, now going forward with college football, I didn't see videos of bands getting a hold of it. You know, we seeing all of these interviews and people coming out saying that they banning the record from being played in certain places. If he's there and all that, this and that. I don't know if you didn't expect the song to impact you the way it is. So now you dropping lost footage of, you know, you with, you know, which is cool. I love the 100 gig stuff. I love that. I'm cool with that. I have no problem with none of that stuff. I love nostalgia. I love to see like behind the scenes looks of my favorite artists, you know what I'm saying, creating, you know, that great music that they've created and all of that other stuff, whether it's concert footage and all of that, whatever it is, behind the scenes stuff, the stuff that we wouldn't be able to see on a day-to-day basis. I love that. I'm cool with it. But getting on your IG stories and trolling, talking about game two, we'll be ready and all of this shit like that, bro, is just making you just looking real corny right now. That shit is corny. If you gonna drop, fam, just do that shit, Joe. You know what I'm saying? It's like, how can I explain this? It's like a motherfucker shoot. It's like Kendrick shot at you. You and he shot at you, bro. He shot you, whatever it is he did. And then you get on IG threatening the nigga like, oh, yeah, we coming. I'm coming back. I'm clapping back at you, bro. Like, why would you tell him that? Why would you give your enemy the warning that you're, you know, going to come back and shoot at him, Joe? Just like, if you go fire back at this nigga, fire back at him when he don't expect it. Fire back at him when he ain't looking. Like, why are you trolling this man, fam? So, in that sense, I'm not interested because it's getting corny to that sense. It's corny. And it feels like it's too late. I feel like if you was going to do what you was going to do, you shouldn't have made The Heart Part 6. You should have just kept dissing them. The Heart Part 6 sounded like you was throwing in the towel. Sounded like you were quitting. I guarantee you, if you would have kept firing back with regular diss records, you and Kendrick would still be doing y'all thing right now. I'm pretty sure Kendrick wouldn't have backed down. Kendrick would have dissed you again. So that's how I see it in a sense. Don't troll us with the bullshit. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to. Don't troll us with it. If you're going to do it, do it. That's my.
My bad. Good, I don't want to hear no more diss. I don't want to hear no more diss. I don't want to hear no more back and forth. I'm done. That shit was done at Heart Part 6. That shit was done with the Kendrick concert. That shit was done when you heard Not Like Us all summer, and now getting into the end of the summer, rolling into the fall months. And we ain't getting no Kendrick Lamar album yet. Yeah. So no, I don't want to hear no more Drake versus Kendrick Lamar beef records. I don't want to hear no more subliminals. I don't want to hear no point blank disses at all. We're done. Let's move on.
Well, Drake, I think in a sense, Drake is gonna subliminally diss whoever. Drake gonna make corn. He gonna make lines. He's gonna make songs, and he's gonna have lines in there where people are gonna overthink it and think that he's dissing this person, this making this person. Then they're gonna start creating context. Then that's when niggas get to thinking like, oh, okay, is he really sneak dissing me or blah 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 this and that? Then I don't know where it goes from there. But Drake is gonna continue to make records and sneak diss. That's just what he does.
Okay, sneak this ASAP Rocky then. Sneak this J. Cole then. Sneak this Cordae. Sneak this Big Sean.
Cordae? What? Why would Cordae deserve? Throwing out some
names at this point.
Cordae deserve a straight. He don't do nothing. Nobody.
Hit it with the 50 Cent joint. Sneak this Big Sean. Sneak this somebody else. Leave Kendrick Lamar alone. And Kendrick, leave Drake alone. Let's focus on the West Coast. Like, let's focus on building that shit up. I don't want to hear no more diss records between the two. Let this shit be over. Be friends or some shit. Or be frenemies. Or just don't talk about each other. But no. Dead this shit. This shit is over with. All right. Ding, ding, ding. The winner is Kendrick Lamar. Hey, you did the concert. All right, bet. Move on. because it's not a round two. If this was a, if this was a battle, this is not. We're not going into the second round, nigga. Mm-hmm. It's over. Mm-hmm. It's a wrap. Mm-hmm. Leave it alone. Mm-hmm. Do you see LL Cool J still dissing Cannabis? No. In fact, he said Cannabis was his hardest opponent. Do you see Jay-Z dissing Nas? No. You just see Jay-Z drop shit on the same day that Nas dropped shit. Do that. But as far as rapping and
so you want him to turn his so you want him to turn his petty on.
Do that. Be petty. Don't do diss songs at this point. Be petty. Like Kendrick Lamar drops an album, then you drop a boatload of singles that day. Like do some shit like that. But yeah, no more rapping against each other. I'm straight. I'm just mad that the shit even got brought up or people thought about, like, no, oh, this could potentially happen because Drake put up a
that's
video
what I'm saying.
Of
Steve see,
Wallace saying, yo, round two.
See, all no. See, but Drake knows that people are going to assume that he's ready for war again. See, that's where the corniness comes in. That this is all on Drake. The reason why we're having this conversation is because Drake continues to do corny shit on his social media, bro. He's continuing to post these cryptic, you know, stories and IG posts and, you know, saying slick shit in these little 100 gig drops songs that he's got, you know, like this shit is corny, bro. It's getting OD corny, bro. The corniness has just risen to another level, fam. And that's just another reason why we, like, everything he's doing right now is just, it's blemished. It's tainted. We don't care. You make, like, just disappear, bro. Just go away for a while, fam. If you come back with some all new work, all new music, nothing that you've had in the vault. Just come back fresh. You know, you're trying to hang around and diss and, you know, sneak this and drop these little records to get a feel to see if the people still fucking with you or not. You know what I'm saying? And he has to, and he has to see that, like, bro, shit is like, The Drake stans are gonna rock. But the actual fan of the rap, the sport, bro, I think they're going to agree that you just coming off corny at this point, bro.
Yeah, this shit's over with.
Kendrick Lamar chilling, bro. He made, like you said, he made the video. He did his shit with the West Coast concert. And boom, he disappeared in the thin air, fam. We don't know where Kendrick is. We don't know what's going on. We don't know if he's dropping another song. We don't know if we getting the album or nothing. It's just mystery. When he does pop back up, bro, boom, there you have it. It ain't got to be all the extra bullshit, fam, that comes along with it. But that's what Drake does, fam. And that's what makes Drake not likable when it comes outside of the music, you know?
And the 100 gig stuff he's dropping, it's some dope work in there.
I love it. I love it.
Keep dropping songs in these gigs on your hard drive. Keep doing that shit.
I love
it. Just don't leave the Drake, leave the Kendrick Lamar shit alone, though. No, I think that we had fun in the spring, yeah, going into the summer.
For sure.
It's a wrap now. Yeah. Move on with your life. Continue, as I said, the best thing that Drake can do is drop quality content. He's dropping quality content.
He's dropping the unreleased records. I think he's just testing the waters with the record to see. And for the record, I say this for the record, the first three songs he put out, the first three, the one with Thug and Savage, and then he had that the one with the bop, the vibe, the red, blue, green, and then the one with Lotto, those three records. I like all three of those songs. All three of those songs were good. But the other ones he dropped, I don't like any of them. The No Face record was cool. But the other ones is just that. But I see what he's doing, like he's testing it out and all that shit like that. But it's no need, bro. It's not necessary.
Hey, man, just drop quality content. But the video of him shaking up with everybody but The Weeknd and just talking to everybody. Yeah, that's a video. There's a video that he dropped on his Fenster.
That's in the 100 gigs.
Yeah, he shook up with everybody, and The Weeknd is right there, and he shook up with everybody and bypassed The Weeknd.
Look, man, that Weeknd shit is gonna play out. That shit is gonna linger forever, bro. Drake salty because the man didn't sign to him, bro. That's how I see it in a nutshell, fam.
Fam, he shook up with everybody, continued his conversation, and the weekend was right there in front of this nigga. And he finally ended up shaking up with him, but it took like a whole last conversation before he even shook up with dude, and he was right there the whole fucking time. If I was the weekend, I would have left. I wouldn't even stuck around for that shit.
I mean,
this looks old because he don't even have his beard. This looks like Take Care Drake.
Weekend was on Take Care, but right after Take Care, that's when they first started. Like, I think that's when they first like stopped fucking with each other. Right after that,
okay,
because that's when the weekend, because that's when the weekend first came out.
Like, because he had the 5 o'clock. This was 5 o'clock Shadow Drake.
That's after Take Care.
So he shake up with that man. If I was weekend, I would have left. I wouldn't even set that right there for the conversation, fam. You're not gonna acknowledge me this whole time while we right there? You're gonna acknowledge everybody else in front of me though? Oh, fam, you lucky you don't hit your ass. But nah, fam, Drake.
Yeah, the back and forth between Drake and Kendrick, I'm good. I'm like, I want a Kendrick Lamar album at this point. I don't know if we're gonna get it, but whatever it is that's going on between them two, what I'm expecting next or what I want next is a Kendrick Lamar album. I don't even want a Drake project. Drake announced he's doing a project with Party Next Door. Bro, why? Why? Who asked for that? Nobody. Definitely not me. Party Next Door is terrible to me. Terrible. It's terrible to me.
You don't want to hear no Drake at Party Next Door?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. I didn't ask for that. We don't want that. I'm straight. But motherfuckers don't fuck with it. But I listen to it, but I'm good. I'm gonna say no Drake and Party Next Door records that they had together have ever hit for me. They offer with me. They are shooting 0% when it comes for them having songs together. So I have no interest in a Party Next Door record. I remember I put on Facebook one time. This is how you know I don't get with Party Next Door music. I remember that one song he had, the Come See Me For Once. I thought he was saying Come See Me Forest or some shit like that. I was like, yo, what is this he said on this record? But at the end of the day, I don't like it. It's not good. It's not a good song. But so I've never really got with Party Next Door. But Drake's doing a project with him, so I'm not good. Where's the Kendrick album? We want the Kendrick album, people. That's all I'm looking forward to when it comes to those two. I don't want anything else. So we'll see.
I'm good on it, bro.
I'm with you. I 100% agree with you on that.
I don't want to hear it. So NBA news.
Yo,
no, America won the gold medal.
Shout out to America, the USA. We didn't even get a chance to talk about the Olympics. The Olympics was lit this year. At the moment when you know they did the last official medal count and we were up and everything, you know, that's one of the few moments I'm very proud to be an American. Cause USA whooped ass in the Olympics. I'm talking about every sport that you could think of, fam. So shout out to the United States of America. Y'all did y'all big one over there in Paris, all right?
So you're not proud to be an American now?
I am proud to be an American. I said one of the few moments I'm proud to be an American was after the Olympics.
I'm talking about, but now that the Olympics is over, are you?
I'm cool with being an American. It's cool. Being an American, I'm cool, but when we do shit like that at the Olympics, put my flag over me, boy. You know what I'm saying?
You got proud to be an American.
You hear me?
Gladly stand up next to you. All right, but now I think Anthony Edwards is feeling himself too much.
Yeah, man, I fucks with Ant, bro, but man, niggas just put a mic in front of this man, man. He just gonna talk.
Anthony Edwards has put his foot in his mouth again.
You know who Anthony Edwards remind me of? He remind me of Michael Parsons.
No, he worse.
Like, I feel like he, if you give him a mic and give him a podcast, oh my God.
So I'm gonna read the quote that Anthony Edwards said about different generations of NBA players. He said, "I didn't watch it back in the day, so I can't speak on it. They said it was tougher back then than it is now, but I don't think anybody had skill back then. Michael Jordan was the only person or the only one that really had skill. You know what I mean?
Excuse me.
So that's why when I saw Kobe Bryant, or that's when they saw Kobe Bryant, they were like, oh my God, but now everybody has skill. Magic Johnson didn't like that. Magic Johnson said that he does not respond, or I've never responded to a guy who's never won a championship. He did win a college championship. I don't even know if he won a high school championship. He has said that when Stephen A. Smith asked him that at a panel, I think at InvestFest. Kevin Garnett said that the majority of the players that's currently in the league right now could not play in the NBA back then. And I don't think he's talking about skill when he says that, but definitely the day-to-day grind of the NBA currently, you have players not wanting back-to-backs. You have players who's not playing full seasons. Like, it's unique to have a player that plays 82 games in a season. Whereas in the 80s and 90s, you had the best players playing at least 80 games. Michael Jordan played 82 games many of occasions. But what are your thoughts on Anthony Edwards saying that? And do you believe that Anthony Edwards is right on the skill of NBA players back in the 80s and 90s?
Not having the skill part is like wild crazy, bro. That's one of the craziest things he could have possibly said, fam. Like, there's basketball players, you can go all the way back to like the early 70s, bro. Have you ever heard of anybody named Pistol Pete Maravich, bro? You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody that, like, when it comes to like, you know, just ball handling and shit like that, fam. Like, he's the OG originator, fam, of like passing and dribbling and, you know what I'm saying, just doing off the wall shit with the basketball, bro. So, and that goes on from, you know what I'm saying, decade to decade to decade. So to say that no players had skill except Mike is crazy. Like, you know, like Magic Johnson is literally the first person you can think of, like when it comes to like that era. And he was the first person to speak up, you know, like to have skill. And when you think of like skills, bro, you think of like, you know, passing and rebounding and just being able to do everything. Like, there were plenty of basketball players back then that can do everything that you're doing right now. And like, obviously, y'all had elevated the game, shit like that. Like, Isaiah Thomas came out and spoke. Like, Isaiah Thomas is arguably one of the greatest point guards ever. So you go top three, bro. Easily. So you're going to sit here and say players like Isaiah didn't have skill, you know, skill as far as like shooting the basketball. You got Larry Bird, like you got like Larry Bird behind the arc. You got to have skill to be that big of a white boy and shoot the ball like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, it kind of is just irritating to hear Ant say that, bro. But like I said, like, he's just one of them guys, fam, that once you give him a mic, my man's just gonna say shit, you know. And like you said, he's just feeling himself a little bit too much right now. So I have to respectfully disagree with that take. It's very bad, a very bad take. And it's sad to say that this is like the only sport when you talk about like generations of like who could play against who then and now. I feel like basketball is the main sport that gets debated on as far as like, oh, like these guys wouldn't be able to play in this, you know, this era compared to this era. I feel like this is the main sport. Do they do that with football? Is that like a conversation had in football? Like, certain football players nowadays wouldn't be able to
play
back in the 80s and 90s?
I don't hear a lot of younger NFL players say that about the older NFL players.
Yeah.
I don't hear that about. The only sport that I do hear that about is basketball.
Mm-hmm.
What What continues to disappoint me, especially when it comes to basketball, is the disrespect of the OGs. Mm-hmm. And it just don't start with Anthony Edwards. I feel a way when LeBron James calls himself the GOAT.
I don't.
Hear me out. No.
Let it go at this point.
No, hear me out. Because it's not about, to me, it's not about the fact that he is the GOAT or not. That's something that somebody else calls you. Mm-hmm. You don't call yourself that, right? When it comes to sports.
Yeah,
I don't think you call yourself that because the people that you can be in that same class with, you're probably not going to play them. I'll give you a perfect example. On Rich Eisen's show, they asked Deion Sanders about Michael Jordan and who was a better athlete, him or Michael Jordan. He basically said, "Why are you asking me that question?" Some people probably would have said, "Oh, Deion Sanders about to talk about himself." He said, "Nah, the person you should talk about is Vincent Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson is the greatest athlete of all time. He's the reason why I exist." For older players, you don't necessarily hear themselves call themselves the GOAT. So that's why I don't like it that LeBron James calls himself the GOAT in public. Not that he is not, because I'll tell you right now, I am at the point right now that I will not argue with anybody about GOAT status when it comes to LeBron James. I just feel like he don't have to say it. Mm-hmm. You let other people say that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is kind of the start a bit of this generation here disrespecting the OGs. Because if LeBron James can call himself the GOAT, then over
ain't
Mike.
Ain't no telling what the rest of these guys are going to say about themselves compared to all the guys that did it before them.
Right. So, and you got J.J. Redick. You got J.J. Redick on First Take talking about players back in the day. Like, this generation, starting with LeBron, and this has nothing against LeBron, but it feels like to me that group, starting with a lot of players from that time going to now, just feel like that they could say anything and everything about OGs. There should not be no NBA player ever that disrespect OGs the way that this generation is doing. That's the whole thing about this that's just really disappointing. It feels real easy for you to say, "Oh, Bob Cousy ain't got no talent. He couldn't play in this era." It's we had a debate on summer sessions because I had compared somebody to George Gervin, and folks was laughing like I was talking about George Gervin is like George Gervin is one of the greatest players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But when I compared something to George Gervin, they was talking about George Gervin and shit. Like the creator of the finger roll, one of the greatest scorers in NBA history. And we talking about him like he ain't shit. Like it's George Gervin. Like, no, nigga. People make it easy or seems... People tend to disrespect the OGs like it's so easy. People are disrespecting Michael Jordan. Talking about some he played against plumbers or look back at the 90s. These players wasn't this and wasn't that. And now you have NBA players that are now doing this openly. And this is supposed to be a brotherhood. That's the other part about it too. It's supposed to be a brotherhood. You didn't hear Michael Jordan out here disrespecting Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Dr. J, David Thompson, Willis Reed, or any of the players that passed down the torch to him. You didn't hear Allen Iverson disrespecting the people that paved the way for him. You didn't hear Vince Carter doing that. And even though people get upset with him, me included, when he calls himself the GOAT, you don't hear LeBron James disrespecting people from other eras.
But I don't know what it is with these kids. I don't know what it is about these younger players that they feel the need to do to disrespect these OGs that paved the way. You need to respect the OGs. These OGs are the reason why you get the money that you get right now. And to say that nobody in the 90s or the 80s, if you're saying Michael Jordan was that only person, to say that they are the, that Michael's the only person that has skill is negating Magic Johnson, Charles Barkley, Isaiah Thomas, Larry Bird. It's negating people like Adrian Dantley, who was a bucket. It's negating people like Joe Dumars, Clyde Drexler, Kiki Vandeweghe, people that you don't talk about on the daily because they're not big as the names of some of the names that I mentioned, but they still a bucket and they cold as hell. Like, you just talked about Michael Jordan like he was Vincent Askew. Like he was the 10th nigga. And it's no diss to Vincent Askew. But he didn't crack the starting lineup on the Sonics. That's why I said his name. And that might sound disrespectful, but I didn't mean it in a disrespectful way. My bad, Vincent Askew. Basically, what I'm saying is, it's to say Michael Jordan was the only person that has skills when you have Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, Mark Jackson, Kiki Vandeweghe, Adrian Dantley. Who else is another bucket that I can name that don't get the respect that they probably deserve? It's a number of those people that I can name.
You got guys like you know what I'm saying, with shooters. You got like obviously we talk about Anthony Hardaway, we talk about Shaq, but you know, you say I had guys like Dennis Scott, Nick Anderson. Those dudes was buckets, shooters. So obviously you got the guys that can shoot as well. Like we could name a million shooters, bro. Like everybody talk about Gary Payton and we talk about Sean Carroll. Yeah. You got to talk about Deadlift Shrimp. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to talk about, like, other guys, man. You got to talk about Chris Mullin. You got Chris Mullin. You know, guys that, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are flamethrowers, G.
So, Alex English ain't had no skill. Sidney Moncrief ain't had no skill. Terry Cummins ain't had no skill. Michael Cooper didn't have no skill. James Worthy didn't have no skill. Stop it with the disrespect. Kevin McHale ain't had no skill. That's the 80s. Stop it with the disrespect. 90s, Chuck ain't had no skill. Patrick Ewing ain't had no skill. David Robinson ain't had no skill. Karl Malone, John Stockton ain't had no skill. Gary Payton, Sean Kemp ain't had no skill. Stop it. The game has advanced, yes. But to be in the NBA, you have to have skill. And there's a lot of players in the 80s and 90s who are buckets that didn't get the All-Stars and the NBA first teams and all of that, that's better than your second tier players in the NBA currently right now. We talk about it. We talked about it on this podcast before. Where are the Wiley veterans? Where's the second and third tier of cold? Where's the second and third tier of cold-ass players? I feel you feeling yourself. I get it. I totally understand that you just got you a gold medal. You was out here killing it in the playoffs. You was out here with your idols and shit, following around Kevin Durant and all of this. But you ain't got to disrespect the OGs to get your point across. Michael Jordan wasn't the only dude in the 90s, in the mid-80s, that was out here getting it. And even going past the 80s, Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Oscar Robertson, stop it, fam. David Thompson, stop it, my G. That second and third and fourth tier NBA players back in the day is way better than what y'all got right now, skill-wise. So we got to chill on that, G.
KD.
Somebody got to tell. Hey,
put your arm around him. But y'all take the do that little thing and be like, hey, bro, come here, man. Let me talk to you, bro. Like, yeah, you know what
tripping.
I'm saying?
You tripping,
get that
man.
Little, get that like, nigga little, you know what I'm saying?
And see, that's why not only, just because you said what you said, not only do you got to stop disrespecting the OGs, Bron, KD, y'all OGs now. Chris Paul, y'all OGs now. Y'all should have went on social, but like, man, my little homie tripping. Y'all ain't do that. Y'all go on Twitter and talk about anything else. KD go on Twitter, talk all that shit to fans who be talking shit and that thing. Get on Twitter and be like, yo, my little homie tripping right now. I'm going to put my arm around him and we're going to have a conversation. So not only do y'all got to stop disrespecting the OGs, y'all got to start acting like OGs.
There you go.
Because for y'all to allow Anthony Edwards to say that shit unchecked is wild, my G.
He definitely need to be big homied right now. Anthony Edwards need to be big homied. You know what I'm saying? Put your arm around little buddy with a little force. Let him feel that and say, hey, bro, keep your mouth shut. Nah. That ain't it.
That ain't it.
You know what I'm saying? Yo,
hey, teach him. Go show him a Kevin Garnett game. Go show him a Karl Malone game. Show him Charles Barkley in the 1993 NBA Finals. Show him Isaiah Thomas in the finals against the Lakers. Show him the day he damn near broke his ankle. And you tell me Isaiah Thomas ain't got no skill. After you watch that game when he damn near broke his ankle and he rolled off all of them points to keep them in the finals, you go tell me Zeke ain't got no skill. Mm-hmm. Show him any Magic Johnson game in the regular season and say and let him recant his statement. Put the arm around him.
Fam. That's all you need, fam. He just need a big homie moment. He need to be big homie. He need to be big homie. That's all. And KG would be the perfect guy to big homie him, fam. Anthony Edwards is wearing a Timberwolves jersey. He's part of the team.
Lord was pissed though. No, Lord
he was
pissed.
Mad, bro. Pissed. Like he was, yes.
Kevin Lord Garnett was pissed.
The perfect Lord was, bro.
I say that loosely.
Yeah.
KG, Lord was pissed.
KG would be the perfect one to have that big homie talk to him, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wearing that Timberwolves jersey, bro. He part of the Timberwolves culture. KG put them on the map, dog. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can have that little big homie moment with him, fam. You KG, go to one of them KG home games, like, man. Like,
yeah. KG was like, Lord. Yeah. Lord,
yeah,
Lord tripping.
He tripping,
stop
bro.
Stop disrespecting. All right, man, before we get out of here, because we got a fantasy football draft to prepare tonight.
Yes, sir. How many leagues you in, Barry? How many leagues you in?
I'm in the same amount last year, so I'm in four.
Four piece? All right, that ain't bad.
I'm in four. So, Mike, next show, we're going to put our predictions out there like we always do. We're going to go live on the Facebook page and doing it.
All right, football.
I definitely feel more comfortable about what's going on this season, but because of Caleb Williams and one of his last like tweets around a certain player on your team, Mike, I would like to offer you a trade. I, representing the Chicago Bears, would like to trade you our number two pick that we own from the Carolina Panthers. Our number one pick in 2026 from Micah Parsons.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure. I'm cool with it. I'm cool with that. That's all right. Let me see. I'm cool with that. It's fair. I mean, I would hate to see the guy go, but is there enough money for him? You know what I'm saying? It would be business. It would be a business move because obviously I feel like Dak's gonna get paid. He's gonna get paid by the Cowboys. Do we have enough money to pay Micah? Do we have enough money to pay him? Because I believe he'll have a great year. So yeah, you're gonna give us what do y'all have again? You said the number two pick next year?
Carolina Panthers number two pick that we own. Which looks to be a high pick, and our number one in 2026.
Yeah, for sure. or we could do this too. Shit, I mean, if you ain't gonna pay Dak, you know what I'm saying? Or Micah, you gonna let Dak walk? Fuck it, bro. We gonna get Shadoo Sanders. You know what I'm saying? We can get Shadoo with the number two pick. Fuck it. We gonna start over.
I can tell you right now, Mike. I don't think Shadoo are going to be any good in the NFL.
You don't think so?
Look,
don't get me wrong, y'all. Let me just say this now. I have always been.
They got high hopes for Shador.
Look, I've always been a big Deion Sanders fan.
Of course.
And I like Shador Sanders. I just don't know if he's going to translate in the NFL.
That's good. I can.
I just don't know.
I can feel you.
I just don't know. But Deion Sanders, let me say this. I get what Deion is doing right now. For those who don't know, Deion Sanders has refused to answer any questions from a member of the Denver media. And it's in his contract that he can do that. I'm not mad at Deion telling a member of the media who disrespects him personally, I don't want to answer no questions from you. I don't think it needs to be publicized, but I have no qualms in that. But this is to all of y'all who love Deion at Jackson State, and we got the Colorado. All of you black celebs, Troy Aikman and them, and all of my Facebook friends, because I don't want to say all of Facebook. I only know my Facebook friends list.
You got a Facebook friend named Troy Aikman?
Nah, that's why Troy? I left him on the side. I said Troy Aikman, because he came to Jackson State and he came to Colorado, but that's his homie. But for all of those people that was on my social media saying that Deion Sanders was going to turn Colorado into a powerhouse, I told y'all, his ass went to the wrong damn school. Because that Deion Sanders is going to turn Colorado into an Alabama. That's not going to happen.
Let me ask you this. Hold on, babe, before you finish. So is that not going to happen at all? So there's like no chance that eventually, not even like 2 years, but like with like maybe 4 to 5 years, you don't think so?
Man, cue Vince McMahon's music, fam. There's no chance.
No chance in hell, huh?
It's what you got.
Okay.
There's no chance that Deion Sanders was going to go to the University of Colorado Buffaloes and make them into a national power. I think it is more likely that Deion Sanders wins 6 games this year. He's not going to win more than that. And they're going to be hot.
That was the over-under last year, I think, was 6 games. No,
and they won four. Yeah, they won four. I told y'all last year he wasn't going to win no more than four. I'll give him 2 extra ones. But Deion Sanders, hot take, maybe it's a prediction. Bringing the guarantees that we do on First Black Champ and bring it to some dude real quick. Deion Sanders will be the coach of the University of Colorado next year. Whether he is fired.
Will he still be coaching football next season? It just won't be in Colorado?
Listen. Whether he is fired or whether they work out something, they negotiate some deal. It is more likely that Deion Sanders will be the next coach of Florida State than he will be at Colorado next year, in my opinion. Mike Norvell, count your days. You lost that game against Georgia Tech after you lost that game last year when y'all was bitching and moaning about the playoffs and shit. You count your days. But it is more likely to me that Deion Sanders will be coaching another team like Florida State than Colorado. There was never any chance to me that Deion Sanders was going to turn Colorado into a powerhouse because it's fucking the University of Colorado. You had a snowball's chance in hell in doing that with that. You was better off going to South Florida and taking over that program and building it up. And you from Florida, so you could get it away with a lot of shit. Them white people up there in Colorado ain't going to let you get away with that shit. Your team is not going to be good enough to deal with the antics,
okay,
that you have.
So what you're saying,
be good enough.
So he should, but see, I think just last year though, bang, we was giving him like, yeah, we're gonna give him a few years, he's gonna turn it was around. Last,
but that was because everybody loves Deion. They saw the shit that happened at Jackson State, and everybody not thinking about college football. It's just like, yo, it's going to translate. He about to turn it to a power. You got Travis Hunter. You got his son. Oh, man. Shouts out to Jay Hollins. Jay Hollins told y'all as soon as Deion Sanders ended up in the Pac-12, one, you went to the wrong school, and two, you ain't going to do none of that shit in the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. He got his ass smacked around in the Pac-12. Every game –
that people play against Colorado, they're going to treat that like it's the Super Bowl. The difference is when you play Alabama, you got to treat it like the Super Bowl because it's fucking Alabama and they got all of the most talented players in the goddamn country. Colorado ain't got that. So when you are a good team to great team and you know that you got Colorado on the schedule, you like, shit, this food. We about to blow these dudes out. That Oregon game. Uh-huh. Oregon treated that shit like it was the goddamn Super Bowl. And they went in and they destroyed their ass. If I was Deion Sanders, I would chill and relax because your team is not going to be good enough to put up with what is going on, whether you're right or not. Mm-hmm. Whether you're right or not. And I believe, again, that if somebody's disrespecting me in the media like that, I ain't got to talk to their ass. But your team got to be good, Jack. And you putting a lot of pressure on your team that's going into a whole new division that's better than the division you was in because it's not top heavy. And you was four games in last year. Mm-hmm. If Deion Sanders, if I felt like Deion Sanders was going to win 10 games and be in the college football playoff, I'd be like, yo, talk your shit out in the open. But Colorado is not going to be that. I knew they wasn't going to be that last year, along with people like Collins, who watches the Pac-12 religiously. And he told folks, I don't think they're going to win no more than four. Oh, no, man. You disrespecting the brother like Deion Sanders. And man, you supposed to support your black brothers. Hey, man, this ain't no HBCU fan. This ain't Jackson State going up against Florida A&M. No, Jack. He's going up against some of the best schools in college football and Caleb Williams. It ain't going to be easy this year if we want to keep it a buck.
Okay. Yep.
If you watch football and if you look at all football, not just who you go look, they got North Dakota State, a possible winnable game in Nebraska, Colorado State, which is an in-state rival, which is not going to be an easy game. And then they got, They got North Dakota State, which is not going to be an easy game. Nebraska, which is not going to be an easy
game. It's not going to be an easy game, but are you giving them the dub?
I'm not giving them shit, fam. I'm just telling you. They got to go up against Colorado, Nebraska, Colorado State, in-conference game. That's not going to be easy. Baylor, who's going to be tough on the schedule. UCF, Central Florida, they might win that. Kansas State and Colorado, I don't know about that. Arizona, I don't know about that. Cincinnati, maybe. Texas Tech, I don't know about that. Utah, going to bust their ass. Kansas, going to bust their ass. Oklahoma State, going to bust their ass. They're going to fuck around and lose the last three games of the season. If I was looking at when the games that they'll win, I give you North Dakota State, I give you Colorado State, I give you UCF, I'll give you Cincinnati, I might give you Texas Tech. So excuse me, five games on the schedule.
Damn.
Well, because Deion Sanders is black and we mess with him, everybody on social media like, you sleep on Colorado. You don't even know who Colorado played. And Deion relies on people like that to be blind to the fact that his ass is going into the Big 12, a difficult conference at that. But you just love Deion and you believe in Deion. That's cool.
Hey, so what you're saying is Deion can't rely just on faith. Them boys got to actually go out there and play some football.
Deion Sanders could preach about God if he wants to, but even God will tell you, hey, man, you ain't going to win all of these games, Jack. I feel you, and I thank you for supporting me. But just know you're not going to win all of these games, Jack. It's going to be a tough season. And I think Deion doing this, again, albeit I'm with him, is leading to his team having a very difficult season and to the people outside of college football. It's going to make it very difficult for them to really continue to support. A lot of them people support Colorado because they love Deion, yeah. But they don't love you when you're losing. They don't love you when you're losing.
For sure.
So they can love Deion Sanders all they want to right now. Oh, he ain't tweaking. We support him. He doing what he doing. The white man this and the white man that. But then when you look at the schedule, and when it gets to the Thanksgiving, yeah, it's only one, two games. Those same people that was like, yo, Deion, we support you, going to be like, man, nah, fuck dude ass. His ass need. That's why his ass shouldn't have left Jackson State in the first place. If he would have stayed at Jackson State, he made him a powerhouse. That was some people that thought that Deion Sanders could make Jackson State a powerhouse like Alabama. Then was the people that don't know shit about college football. He could have made them a SWAC powerhouse, a HBCU powerhouse, but this wasn't going to touch Alabama. But those are the people that don't know and continually to blind support a man who, albeit, is one of the greatest cornerbacks of all time, and I support him in what he's doing right now, right, is in over his head when it comes to the teams that he's going to be going against. So, Deion, continue to tell less scrub-ass dude, no, I ain't answering your questions. But the minute y'all made it a big deal, the minute y'all decided to broadcast it, is the minute where it was like, all right, y'all doing too much. Y'all tweaking. And when y'all ass end up maybe winning five games, all of those people who support you are going to turn against you.
It's all cool. Like, if you going to stand on your morals, that's all good, fine and dandy. But like you said, once you, you know, publicize it and, you know what I'm saying, making it worldwide news, you're putting the bullseye on your back, and that bullseye is big, and everybody gunning for you. So we shall see, bang. I give Colorado at least 6.5 games, though. I give them 6 games this year. But we'll see, though. We'll see. But like I said, but to originally answer your original trade, though, yeah, I'll do that, though. I give y'all Michael for the number 2 pick next year. And you said the number 1 pick in 2026?
Yeah,
I'll get that to y'all. That's not a problem. That ain't no problem.
I appreciate that.
We could get another Michael. We could find another.
I appreciate that. Go tell Jerry Jones that we're going to make a deal. We're going to do the trade right before the beginning of the season like we did with Khalil Mack. Yeah. We're going to trade that two in the one in 2026 for Michael Parsons. And then when that happened, I'll make the prediction that the Bears go to the Super Bowl.
Dang, I'll be waiting for that prediction. You waiting for it.
Hey, look, I'll be delirious at that point. Michael on one end and Montez on the other with that linebacker core.
I fucks with
Tyreek Stevenson, Kyler Gordon, and JJ. Oh, man, boy. Y'all couldn't tell me shit. But Deion, my line, Deion is all of this shit is fun and games until your ass is out here winning 5 games every year. Some shit you ain't just got to publicize or acknowledge. Just don't acknowledge buddy ass. But the minute y'all publicize that shit and that team end up huff, man, you're going to make it harder for you to bring in recruits after that. Recruits gonna go from, man, I love Deion Sanders to, nah, I ain't really fuck with buddy like that. And reportedly, allegedly, it's a lot of things that's going on around that program that people just not with. And that's gonna even make it more harder for recruits to come up in there. So if you can't get no recruits to come to Colorado, if you can't get no transfer students to come to Colorado because y'all consistently losing, then fam, ain't no point in having Deion Sanders. But there's no point in Deion Sanders being in Colorado to me. So Florida State, when y'all fire Norville, I know there's some people at Florida State, will be like, nah, we don't want Deion. But if Deion want to coach at college football, I think the best place for Deion is Florida State. Hey, be where you accept it. Accept Colorado. So we'll see what happens for that. But we do have a Cowboy fan in the chat. Shouts out to the homie, Cab. He says, as a Cowboys fan myself, I can't give up Micah for a second and future one when the Bears getting better. That's basically 2-2s. Well, I feel you, but Micah already accepted the trade, so we're about to go ahead and give Micah. We're about to go ahead and give Micah that right now.
I love Micah Parsons, bro. But
number 11, Jack.
One more year of podcasting, I'm going to let the Bears deal with that shit because – That man, the podcast and shit is a distraction for me. I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I love Micah on the field, bro, but the nigga podcast too much. He talk too much. And I ain't a fan of the antics.
Give us that number 11, man. All right, man. But we got the fantasy football.
That shit ain't happening. It's all good. Yeah, we got it. We got how many? Have you done any drafts yet or no?
Nah, I don't do all that shit.
I'm saying you haven't had any drafts.
Well, like, no. This is my first draft tonight. So we're ready. Oh, shout out to Rasheed Wallace in the chat. He said that, they just posted. He said, Mike was the good wasn't all that of a good defender. I seen him in the best bus. I'm not saying that he didn't play defense. I'm just saying that his defense wasn't as high as most of the cats at the time. I ain't mad at that take. Okay. Michael Jordan is not the greatest defensive guard of all time. That's Gary Payton. So, Rasheed Wallace, you're right. Because Gary Payton is the greatest defensive guard in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I stand on that, Terrence Ratcliffe.
Bang, you got the fifth pick in the draft, in our draft this tonight. Who you grabbing?
I got the last pick in the draft.
Who you picking at five? Who you what you looking at, bro? What's your strategy?
In this pod.
All right, man. Some dude pod, man. Look, Bang don't want to give out he don't want to give out the strategy. That's crazy.
Hell no.
No, do you agree to run? Who you go running back first, wide receiver first?
I'm about to have it, Mike, in the pod. I'm about to have a heat stroke in this garage.
All right, man. Sub do pod, rate, like, subscribe. Y'all already know, man. The Barber's Chair Network is what you search up to find anything Sub do pod related, podcast related, all of that. You know what I'm saying? Not just Sub do pod. They got, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to hold you. You got First Black Champ and all that other good stuff on there. You know what I'm saying? We on IG at Sub do pod, on Twitter at Sub do pod. Facebook group, y'all get into the Facebook group, all right? Hashtag Some Dude Pod on Facebook. Get involved with the conversation. I'm gonna need Vince to get back, you know what I'm saying, into his administrator role, bro, and get the
that nigga trying to better himself.
We gotta get some dialogue going on in the group, man. We missed the ones gotta goes and all of that shit like that. We gonna need Vince to get back on his shit. So, but yeah, get into the Facebook group, hashtag Some Dude Pod. Follow us on Facebook as well. Search Some Dude. I'm Mike B. That's JR Bang. We'll see y'all next week. NFL preview show, man. All right, I'm gone.
Yo, 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 it's your girl Nate Kale, and this is Some Dude Podcast. We out. Peace.